Okay. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here with all of you. I hope that you enjoyed the last two sessions as much as I enjoyed the last two sessions. Some legitimately fascinating things and really, really interesting across the board. I want to say a couple of things by way of introduction. I hope that that's okay. I'm going to make an argument tonight. I am not sure that I believe in the argument that I'm going to make. I'm going to do my best to make it in a convincing way. I'm going to do my best to make it in a way that tries to argue, you know, a particular side of an argument. I'm not sure I'm right. One of the challenges of something like, let's say, the impact of AI on our Torah learning or the world of the Beis Medrash is that we don't really know a lot. Things have started. We don't know where it's going to end. If you just heard Rabbi Sobolevsky speak and have the him versus the AI type, you know, discussion about Psak Halacha, I don't know what AI looks like in a year from now. I don't know what it looks like in a month from now. And in that sense, it's really moving and changing. And a lot of really sort of important questions that are there. I want to try to be optimistic. That is not my natural safe space. I tend to be more pessimistic, maybe a little bit bitter and condescending at times, but this is not a therapy session. I do, however, want to try to make an argument as to why one could be a little bit optimistic, as to why one could be somewhat hopeful about the direction things are going into. And I want to try to do so in the following manner. I'll begin by way of Hakdama. There was an academic article published studying the following phenomenon. In many Haggadahs, Pesach Haggadahs, they have pictures. And when you get to the Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, so they have four pictures, and the picture of the Rasha. And over the last many centuries, many Haggadahs had pictures of the Rasha, of what exactly the Rasha looks like. Okay, it happens to be, it's a fascinating thing, what the image is of a Rasha. If we went around the room right now, everyone draws their picture of Rasha. We then look around and see who does it align with, you know, that particular picture and who in the room. But there are questions like, you know, what exactly, you know, is that? You find probably different pictures based on the era in which you are in. What about if I ask you to draw a different picture? I don't take pictures that frequently at all, but my phone, I said this right 90 seconds ago. When you take, I don't know, my phone just popped up. A picture I took, you know, 2 or 3 years ago on this day, and it was a picture of a Rosenzweig learning in the Antispa Kolel Beis Medrash. If I would ask you to draw a picture of almost any Talmud Chacham over the last several thousand years of what it looks like when they are learning, I would make the argument that almost all of our pictures would look pretty much the same. There would be small and subtle differences. Rav Avadia would be sitting there and there would be a lot of Sfarim open in front of him. If you ever saw a picture of him, all the tshuvas, you'd see a table just, remember once being in his his office, I guess, or in his Beis Medrash, a million Sfarim that are all out there. There are certain Talmidei Chachamim that based on the way in which they learn, their picture would be like a shtender and a gemara. Reb Chaim Brisker, they have, and they printed recently from a Yiddish drasha of his describing the Rav, what he saw, what Sfarim he saw by Reb Chaim. A Shas and a Rambam, a Taurus Kohanim and a Karen Ora. Not a lot that was really there. So remember, it's a smaller thing. So Reb Chaim with a gemara and a Rambam, that is the image, that's the image that you have. But all of the images, whether you were asked to just take a stab at it, what did Rashi look like when he was learning? What did Tosfos look like? What did Yosef Cairo or anybody else would be a picture of a person sitting there with a sefer opened in front of him? And that is what Talmud Torah would actually look like. And even though there are trends in terms of Darchei HaLimud, the way people learn, and even though we all know that there were different people who specialized in different areas of Torah, so whether it's the Maharal and we envision a Maharal sitting there and he's learning Sifrei Machshava or Agadata in one way, or it is the Beis Yosef, and he's sitting there with Rishonim open, the same tsura of the picture, the Derech HaLimud that we envision is a Derech HaLimud of a person sitting there, a Sefer open in front of them, and they're sitting there and they're learning. That's what it is. I want to look backwards, and I want to look forwards. I want to make the case that that's not accurate. I want to make the case that if we were looking back in history, that's actually not the way Talmud Torah often looked. And because of that, I want to make the case that there were three or four major shifts in the way that Klal Yisrael learned. And I would make the argument that AI is just one more step in a process that has been unfolding for probably close to a millennia, if not more. That's going to be my particular argument. If I'm feeling really radical, if I'm feeling really radical, which is possible, I'll make the argument based on a Maharal or two that actually it's a step in the process of Geula, but that is going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit much, but I'm going to do it because I can't control myself, and I think it's actually Mefurish and Sfarim. So it's not Mefurish and Sfarim, but I'm going to say it confidently like I just did, because I'm making an argument once again that I may or may not believe, but I'm going to make it confidently because it's an unhealthy way to go about life. Let's go like this. The Gemara Maseches Gidin on Daf Samech. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Gidin that Torah should be chsav, a person is not allowed to recite Baal Peh. That if there are psukim that are written in Tanakh, so I'm not allowed, all else being equal, to recite those psukim while not looking into the text itself. That's the din of Torah Shebichsav, a machlokas harishonim, Rabbeinu Kreskes, the Tosfos Rid, the Yerayim, lots of mikoros in terms of why exactly that is so. Is it that we're nervous you're going to mess up? Different mahalchim that are there. The Gemara tells Maseches Gidin another halacha, and that is that Torah Shebaal Peh, it's usur to write down. That Torah Shebaal Peh can't really be written down. Which means derech agav, or not even derech agav, which means that prior to, the Gemara tells the Maseches Gidin, Eis la'asos ha'shamei faris o'asecha, that there was a heter to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, but before we were allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, Talmud Torah actually looked like, one of the descriptions of what it looks like, probably actually more like this room than a person in a base medrash, the picture that I have of Sartre B'chamim sitting there with a sefer open in front of them. Because, while, okay, they were showing that note that they may have had certain things that they were writing down, it was not formal svarim. That's not the way that they actually learned. You would hear things from a Rebbe. The Gemara in Maseches Erevin, Ketzad, Seder HaMishnah. Let's go back to the way beginning. How did Moshe Rabbeinu teach Torah? What did it look like when Moshe taught Torah? So the Gemara tells us that Aaron HaKohen and Aaron's children would be next to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he would teach them Torah. It was an oral law. Halach leMoshe miSinai. It's passed down in that particular way. The tzura of Talmud Torah at the time of Maimed Har Sinai was one in which it's all going to be passed down, more or less orally. That's the way it's going to go. That explains a lot of our Gemara. The way the Gemara is structured sometimes. I never heard this Brisa. I never heard it. There are things that we didn't have access to. Things we didn't know. It was all passed on in that particular way. Then we encounter what is a radical shift. I'm going to argue based on two Mekoros and Achronim, a very radical shift. We wrote down Torah Shebaal Peh. We wrote down Shas. We had Geonim, and we now have Rishonim. We now write it down. There are two ways to understand the fact that we wrote it down. The first is to argue that it's basically insignificant, that once you write it down, Talmud Torah itself did not shift that much at all. It's just a heter to write it down because we're scared that we're going to forget. I do not believe that is so, and I believe that for two reasons. Listen up, because it's fascinating stuff, and one of them is Briska Rav in this week's Parsha. Not often quoted to argue that we should have radical change, but nevertheless, we're going to do what we're going to do. The following argument. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos, Kol HaShocheach Dover Echad Mimishnaso, if you forget your Torah learning, you're Mischayiv B'Nafsho. What does Mischayiv B'Nafsho mean? That's a complex question. But it means something bad. Your Mischayiv B'Nafsho. If I forget my learning, Mischayiv B'Nafsho. Okay. Does that Isser apply nowadays or not? The Isser applies nowadays or not? So it is fascinating that in the world of Chassidus, in the world of Chabad, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins that yes, it does, that our learning is a learning and we're not allowed to forget at all. We're not allowed to forget our learning. Okay, so you can get fancy a little bit to downplay it. It's Mimishnaso. There are nitzivs about this. There are things to do to make it somewhat less like over the top. You can never forget anything. It's very pressurized. It's almost a reason not to learn. If I don't learn, I don't forget anything, and then it's all good. So that's also not true, because of a middle Torah, but I'm kind of amazing, but it's fine. So there's so we have the following. You can't forget your learning. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the great Talmud of the Gra, in a sefer called Keser Rosh, is quoted as maintaining that nowadays there is no iser to forget your learning. Nowadays, there's no iser to forget your learning. Why is that so? Why would there be no iser to forget your learning? So Briska Rav points out, Parsh Veschanan, Briska Rav in his Perish Al Torah. Briska Rav writes, because the main goal is to make sure we have access to Torah. That there's a Mesorah, that Torah can get passed on. When we couldn't write down Torah Shebaal Peh, memory was so critical. There was an iser to forget your learning. But once we're allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, the Isser went away because we're no longer nervous the Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. We're no longer nervous about that. Why not? Because we can write it down. If we write it down, I'm not going to forget. I have access to it. I'm all good to go. So if I write it down, suddenly it's all fine. So says the Brisker Rav, there's no longer a need to, there's no longer an Isser to forget your Talmud Torah, which means we just underwent a massive shift. What was the massive shift? We went from Torah primarily being oral with an Isser to forget your Talmud Torah. And now we're at a world where Torah gets written down. Now we have Sfarim. Just imagine like the cataclysmic shift that took place in Batei Medrash all around the world. And now you're allowed to forget. If you have like a little bit of like you're really medatek b'halacha in a way where like you flirt with like, not OCD, but like these things. Like imagine how like freeing that was. Like you're there all the time. I can't, now you just write the notes. Like it's all, you can write, you can publish it, and you're all good to go. You ready? Second nafkamina that may come as a result. This is a major machlokas. There is a gemara in Meseches Horios. I don't know. It's like a thing people do. People love rating different Talmidei Chachamim. It's like a, it's a thing. Whether that brings the geula or not, the answer is probably not. As far as the 9 days piece goes, let's be open about that. But people like this phenomenon of like rating. He's here. It has a toelas. Chaz Nish, there's a certain discussion about, you know, the role that this plays. But like rating things. Who is greater, asks the Gemara in Meseches Horios, the Sinai or the Oker Harem? The Sinai is the person that has mastery of information. The person that knows all the dinim. The person that knows everything. Or the Oker Harem. The Oker Harem is the person that's very creative in their Talmud Torah. Amazingly innovative in the way in which they're going to teach. Who's greater, the Sinai or the Oker Harem? The Gemara comes to a very clear conclusion there in Meseches Horios. What's the Gemara's conclusion? Who's greater? The Sinai. To know all the dinim, that most certainly is critical. That most certainly is the most important thing. The Sinai is great. Okay. Is that true once Torah Shabbat Peh is written down? Is that still accurate once we're allowed to write it down? So this is a little bit of a fancier marmakom. But Rav Shlomo Kluger, I believe, points out in his Ha'aros on the Pri Megadim. Okay, maybe I'm digging a little bit. Rav Shlomo Kluger points out in his Ha'aros on the Pri Megadim that he maintains it underwent a massive shift. That once we were allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh, then Sinai no longer becomes the greater person. Who becomes the greater person? The Oker Harem. Suddenly, the person that's able to be mechadesh, he becomes greater, meaning the writing down of Torah Shabbat Peh didn't just remove an Isser from forgetting, it reassessed who is the ultimate, most successful in terms of his Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah shifted to an extent, now full brackets, and this bracket is really an important ara. Rav Avadia and Yabia Omer in the Hakdama would be having, like, if he were alive, he'd be having a hard time if he heard this. Because Rav Avadia's entire Hakdama is that that's not true. And everything quoted from Shlomo Kluger is, I mean, it is from Shlomo Kluger, but he thinks it's true from Rivash. He doesn't buy it all the way. But at least there's a Mahalach out there that it underwent a major shift. You know when else Torah shifted? What are the Sfarim that people are learning from? There is, it's an amazing thing, there's a pretty famous rush. I think I heard it from my father, the first time I ever heard this rush. It's a pretty famous rush. It is almost always quoted in a sugya in Meseches Menachos. Yet, I think the premise of the rush is so incredibly important for what we're talking about. The Gemara tells, Meseches Sanhedrin, it's a Gemara Meseches Menachos also, V'yata kisvilchem asashira hazos. Shira refers to Torah. We have a mitzvah, d'oraisa, to write ksivas sefer Torah. Ksivas sefer Torah. Says the rush the following line. There was a mitzvah. Machlokes, based on the Prisha, how to say the next line. I'm going to try to be a little bit nuanced in the way I say it. There was a mitzvah to write down Ksivas Sefer Torah, to write down a Sefer Torah, but says the Rosh, Aval Ha'idna. But nowadays, we actually don't learn anymore from Sifrei Torah. Now we learn from Sfarim, says the Rosh. Says the Rosh, because now we learn from Sfarim, you can also, or you can exclusively, be Yotze, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, by regular Sfarim. So you don't have to write a whole Sefer Torah, just by Sfarim, or write Sfarim, or learn them, and you're Yotze. Now, all that's often quoted about the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, but what's the Rosh telling us? There was a shift. Imagine a world of a Beis Medrash, where you walk in and you see someone at the Bima, with a Sefer Torah open, He's learning from a Sefer Torah. Agav, there are lots of other Makoros. He learned from a Sefer Torah. It's like Kiva Besser's, you know, field. He's sitting there. He's just going from a Sefer Torah. He'll lay in it beautifully. It'll be very, very nice. But it's not Kriyas HaTorah. That's the way they seem to learn. So it's a rush prior to the rush. And now there's a shift. And suddenly, what do we start doing? We start writing things down. We start having Sfarim that are there. And now we start learning from Sfarim. So we have a shift in Ksivas Sefer Torah. We also have that original shift, which is that shift in terms of Sinai Oker Harim, the Isser of forgetting Torah, that Ksivas Torah Shebaal Peh changed the way in which we are going to, in which we're going to learn. Third shift, which takes place. This is a fascinating one. This is one that is a little bit more historical, but the discussion is absolutely fascinating. I actually, in preparation for this, spent about 90 seconds on AI to ask questions about it. I would say remarkably unhelpful, but in many ways in my life, it's very, very helpful. Just letting you know this, it was unhelpful. The following. The printing press, we were in the 1500s. 15th century, sorry. Before that time, all Sfarim are going to be hand-copied. They're going to be handwritten. That's why we have so many, in certain Sfarim, Toas Sofers. That's why you have, you know, some Chevra putting out Gemaras in some places where they make all these Girsa changes. You have this going on. Why is that so? Because there are a lot of, when people are just copying things, they make mistakes. And what do they try to do? If your job full-time is copying Sfarim, you know what you're going to do a whole lot of? Roshei Tevos. It is so annoying to write it all out. So you'll have tons of Roshei Tevos. Anyone ever see an older edition of the Minchas Chinuch? And the older editions. Now the older editions are the ones that I have. But the two editions ago, like the, not the Friedicker, like the Mittler edition of the Minchas Chinuch. When you look at it in that way, it's all Roshei Tevos. Why Roshei Tevos? Because it's so annoying to rewrite safe space. So suddenly, in a world pre-printing press, it was so hard to get access to Sfarim. So what do? We now have Sfarim, and we're printing them. Some of this first Sfarim that we have published are Chumashim. We have Rashi and Ramban. We suddenly get a Shas that we can have access to. If you read, even in Europe not that long ago, we don't have the most impressive collection of Sfarim in our base medrash here. 800 years ago, this would have been like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. Like the Sfarim that you have here, I don't just mean like the Masifta that give you access to lots of other Sfarim. I'm saying there's a lot going on there. We'd be really taken by it. There's lots of Rambams there. There are a bunch of full Shases that are all there. It's like an unbelievable thing, the access to Sfarim. Here is a fascinating point. To my knowledge, which is not that vast in this topic, there's a lot of halachic discussion about the impact of the printing press. Discussion about, is it called ksiva or not? If I use a printer on Shabbos, how many malachas on Shabbos do I violate? There are discussions in Achronim about copyright law. If I take your sefer and I print it in my name, so what is that called? Kibbut Torah Hashem Chafso, Uvisorah So, it's his Torah. Is there, you know what there isn't really with printing press? I have a hard time finding this. Real strong opposition to having lots more access to information and Sfarim. You see, Shaila's about, is it the Ksiva? Is it called Ksivan Cholamoid of Yaakov and Moshe? Is it called a Maisa Uman or not? Like, you don't see discussions about, like, is it good that we have access to more Sfarim? Are there protests ever outside Sfarim stores nowadays? The answer is yes, but not because of the fact that they're selling lots of Sfarim. A controversial thing here or there, it can get the chevra riled up a little bit. But you don't have the same way, like, real. It seems like we're good with the spread of information that happens to be there. Next example of a potential change. Sobolovsky spoke earlier about the way in which we paskin shailas. 16th century. Many of the people here were in Tzfas. Sobolovsky said that he, years ago in Tzfakolel, when his kids were younger, he would go on all of the trips, He was like the most dedicated NCSY member of any, he didn't miss anything. Sobolovsky, once he's there, so he would give the tour in Tzfas. Why hire a tour guide? He's got this. So he would give the tour in Tzfas. So he joked that his tour was like the least Kabbalistic like vibes of any tour of Tzfas, you know, because he's talking about, wow, the Beis Yosef here, it's amazing. He's talking about tshuvas, about like Hefker Shvias. You know, he's talking about like, you know, it's okay. So the chevra that wants a certain vibe in Tzfas, they're gonna have to, okay, it'll be what it is. It'll be what it is. 16th century is one of the most important works that we are all familiar with gets published. That work is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, puts down a work for Chalakim, the Halacha Zer Shayach with Manazeh. The goal was to go through everything and tell you, bottom line, what to do. Not all that different from elements we found in Rambam. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, it's different, but Shulchan Aruch does. The Rama, in an act of absolute godless for a different time, the Rama, who's compiling a similar sefer for Ashkenazim, decides not to publish a separate sefer, but to have Haggaz, to have short comments on the Shulchan Aruch of what to do. What gets published is a Shulchan Aruch. What gets published is a Shulchan Aruch. It is a fascinating, fascinating thing. Says the Mechaber as follows, like the Shulchan Aruch. Why am I writing the sefer? We call this a little bit of a shift. Ra'isi ani believi, kitov lilko shoshani sfirei amara b'derech k'tzara, b'lashon tzach v'kol al yafa v'naim. I want to take all of the halacha stuff, and I want to just make it clear and easy. L'man tiyat Torah Hashem timima shigura b'fi kol ish Yisrael. I want Torah to be accessible to everybody. As some of you may know, the Shulchan Aruch was a work that was written to be learned in its entirety once a month. The original goal of Shulchan Aruch, all those big volumes, was once a month. There's a very chashuv Talmid Chacham passed a couple years ago, or Moshe Tzuriel Zatzal, who used to go through it once a month. I believe his line was, the first couple times, it's a little bit challenging, but after a while, it reads like a comic book. After a while, you just flip through Shulchan Aruch, and you're all good to go. It helps if you also know Shas. Now, when you are, I mean, unless you don't read comic books, you look at the pictures, then you'll go through very quickly through the Shulchan Aruch, because there ain't a lot of pictures. Now, when you're going through it in that particular, Shulchan Aruch is written as a sefer to tell you how to paskin. Why? Ki ka'asher yish'alu tam lichamim dvar halacha, referencing the Gemara in Kiddushin, lo yigam gimba ela yomer lachachma achosia. You'll have a clear guide of where to go. We call that a shift. We call that a shift. Because now we're writing a sefer that you can go to for Psak Halacha. Is that a good shift or a bad shift? The Maharal had some thoughts. The Maharal in the Siva Torah writes as follows. That was terrible, the Shulchan Aruch, in a certain, I mean, the way I said it. Ve'ilu yedu ha-mechabrim. If the people who wrote these farim knew, ki achiburim ha-heim yihiyu gormim shiyu oz v'nes ha-talmud legamrei, if they knew that people would end up stopping to learn Gemara, if I want to know a halacha, I'll just open up and I'll look in the Shulchan Aruch. He said, and they would be paskening from their chiburim in that way. He said, it's pashut to me that they wouldn't have written satzfarim. No way. You have to learn Gemara. There was a shift, and some people like the shift. The Marsha and Sultan Chafbeis, different discussions of these shifts which take place, which means as follows. If we opened up by describing the way in which that picture of the Talmud Chacham and the way he learns, in the early days, we have the following like development. It went from primarily oral. We are going to hear things pretty much directly given to us from our rebbeim. Is an isser to forget, and the ultimate value is to be a Sinai to remember everything. Now we write down Torah Shebaal Peh, and now we have Machloksim. Is it still Sinai, or now it's Oker Harim? Is there still an isser, or is there no isser to forget? Then you have a time when people are learning, but there would be people that would learn from a Sefer Torah. And now it says the Rosh, Avaha Idna, Shekosvin Sefer Torah, Umeinithin Oso, Bebate Kinesios, and now we write Sefer Torah, and we leave it in the Aron. We're not learning from it anymore. Says the Rosh, it's another shift. What Sfarim are you opening? How many do you have access to? You have access to a lot of Sfarim, you have access to a very small amount of Sfarim. And now we have Sfarim that are there to tell me what to do. These updated versions of particular Sfarim. The way that we have learned in many ways has changed. I'm going to make an argument right now. This part I really don't know if I believe. But I want this to be true. That's what we call an intellectual shochad. But I want this to be true, so I'm going to make the argument. Every major shift in terms of Talmud Torah that I am aware of has done one thing primarily: increased accessibility and access to Torah. The writing it down meant I didn't need a Rebbe the same way. Akadekaf, the Kuzari, even has this line, the original mucker is not that clear, that he critiques it. No. Mi pi sofrim velo mi pi svarim. Better to learn from Rebbeim and not learn from svarim. There are risks in this mahalach, but it begins to become a little bit more, there's more access. It's all written down. Not only is it all written down, now we have more svarim. It's a Sefer Torah. Isn't it, if you learn from a Sefer Torah, wouldn't that be a little bit harder? I think they say that the Gra, I heard this many years ago, at the end of the Gra's life, his limud was to open a Sefer Torah, and he would just go pasuk by pasuk. And on each pasuk, he would tell you everything that was on that pasuk. Can you imagine, ki yikach yishisha, ki matzah bayar vasdavar, like three pasukim is all of Gidin and Kiddushin, and the Gra's just doing his thing. He's just going through all of it. It's a different limud. It's so hard to do it that way. It's greater access. Printing press is greater access. It's greater access. Sfarim like Shulchan Aruch is greater access. Sfarim like Mesifta, Tversky quoted it earlier, it's greater access to more and more things. Is that good or is that bad? It is very easy to make the argument as to why it's bad. I happen to be very sympathetic to that particular argument, not only because professionally, I have a lot riding on certain professions continuing to exist, but in general, there's something, it's a problem. Mi sofrim velo mi pisvarim. There's something about having Rebbeim, Maaseh L'Charav, is very, very critical. As Rostovsky and Tversky spoke about, a lot of shifts going on in the world, and it's very, very important. But I'm going to make the opposite argument, if that's okay. What time? 10:15 tomorrow? Great. Okay. I'm trying to think how funky I can go right now. The Haramor Chevra, I can really can live a little. So, Salpi Kisvei Harav and the Nazir of Tzihuda. We have what to say, but it's okay. I'll be a little bit less intense than what you heard of Shabbos, and then I'll try to be somewhat more balanced. There's a Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, Kuflam Chesed Mabez to Kuflam Tes Amid Aleph. The Gemara there speaks about Torah being forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Gemara speaks about, this is where the line comes from, envisioning a time and the Maila of a reality in which Torah is not all spread out, but rather it is Mishnah Brura, Sidura b'makom Echad, that a person has an organized take and access to all of Torah. That's where the Mishnah Brura got his name from that Gemara in Shabbos and Kuflam, that Dafgalan is a way to have Kuflam and Tesman Aleph. That is an organized Torah. It all comes together. The Maral, in a couple of places, in his Drush al HaTorah, this is developed in a certain sense in the Hakdama to Sefer Piskei Tshuvos. The Piskei Tshuvos, a lot of forms of different names, of similar names, Piskei Tshuva, Piskei Tshuva, Piskei Tshuvos, Piskei Tshuvos. If you want to write a Sefer, just write with a name like that, and some people will buy it by mistake, and it's not a bad way to potentially, get someone to buy your Sefer. Now, there is a, there's a mahalach like that out there, I think. No, it's like the equivalent of websites. It's like not in the old days, now it gets fixed on its own, like google.com with like three O's, and suddenly they go to your website. There's things like that. Okay. The Maral essentially develops, this is found towards Chassidus also, I think it's an amazing way of looking at things. Again, take it or leave it. I'm not sure if I'm taking it or leaving it, but I don't have another form to make the argument. Oraisa v'Yisrael chad hu. The Zohar tells us that there's a connection between Klal Yisrael and the Torah. Hare, what do we say? Yisrael is osios, yeshishim ribo osios, that Klal Yisrael, every Jew, has an os in the Torah. Every Jew has a letter in the Torah. There aren't 600,000. Okay, fine. But Lemaisa, that's a review of Margolios, about Kamnetsky, different theories about that. Okay. But every Jew has an os in Torah. We all have a chelek in Torah. Torah and Klal Yisrael go hand in hand. The Maral makes the following argument. When Klal Yisrael is spread out, so then Torah is spread out. When Torah is brought together, when it becomes one, then Klal Yisrael becomes one, because there is a linkage that takes place between Klal Yisrael and Torah. Again, it's somewhat of a mystical kind of an idea, but if every Jew has a letter in Torah, so when all the Jews are spread out, that's Torah also being spread out. And when Klal Yisrael comes together, says the Maral, when the Torah becomes united, then Klal Yisrael comes together. Because of that, a variety of Bali Machshava make the following argument. What is going to bring the Geula of Klal Yisrael actually coming together is the act of Torah coming together. When all of Torah can be found in one location, that is when all of Klal Yisrael will be able to be found in one location. In one location. We're not getting into Kisvir of Kook, the Nazir, and others. But part of this Yisod is an absolutely astounding one. I think somewhat of a fascinating one. We're in a world right now where Torah is being brought together in ways where it never could. If I asked people in this room to draw pictures of people that learn, there would be pictures right now of people holding devices. I wonder. I actually sort of hope not, but I happen to be my kids. If you ask my kids, what is the tzura of me learning? I'm embarrassed to say this, but mostly because the nature of my life preparing shiurim, it's me and a computer. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? My wife's in the room, but I'll point out, like, she definitely believes it's a bad thing. No doubt about it. I'm positive. I actually wonder if my kids think I learn or watch Netflix all day. I'm not even sure what they think I'm doing all day. You know, like, it's an amazing... One of my sons once said to me, he's like, I think all you do all day is write down sources. Like, there's no learning. It's, you know, it's like, all I see is you, like, sitting there, it's like, Gemara, Baba Kama. Okay. Happens to me, it's true. But there's a... The tzura may change. The tzura may change in a certain sense. It's like a shatra likes, you know, the joke people say based on Yerushalmi, that Am Ha'aretz Emas Shabbos Allah from a different context. Like, Shabbos is terrifying if you're Am Ha'aretz because you can't look stuff up. You either know stuff or don't know stuff. Like, what are you going to do? But as Torah, in many ways, what are all these internet, what's happening? I can get all of Torah neatly organized, brought together in a very easily accessible way. You can open a Masifta. You can go on your phone and choose a variety of apps that will give you a shiur on any umma that you want, any length of time that you want, any combination of Mikoros, this, that, charts. I don't even know what, like, the Zichru, whatever these things happen to be. And you can have all of that. Torah's coming together. Is it possible that this is a step in a process? Do we have to be nervous about it? I think terrified. Do we have to be nervous about what's going to happen with our Talmud Torah? I think so, because we're going to see a certain kind of development. We're going to see Torah that gets brought together. There may be shifts in the way that we learn. Maybe Bikias won't matter the same way. Parentheses, it's going to have to matter a whole lot. It's impossible not to. But maybe it won't matter the same way. Maybe the tzura of what we're learning looks like is going to be different, because maybe our access to Torah is going to be somewhat of a different access. Maybe suddenly we're going to be able to have access to a Torah that's more integrated, that comes together. I personally, says to a friend of mine, I hate change on a lot of different levels. I don't do well with change personally. That explains many different parts of my life. We can reflect upon, again, a different time when it's late at night and we're amongst friends. But I like inertia. I'm doing what I want to continue. It happens to be, I really like the old way of learning. I happen to think it's going to continue. I think it's going to continue. But I think we're going to start seeing certain influences. We're going to start seeing certain things that may shift. We may. If we do, is it good or bad? So number one, it may not be the first time we've ever had to undergo a bit of a shift in the way that we learn. It may not be the first time. We've done it before. Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, and there'll always be a Torah that we could learn, and it's going to be good. We're never going to have radical shifts. We have a Masorah about the way we do things. We're never going to have earth-shatteringly radical shifts in the way we do things. But could there be a bit of a shift? I think so. Just like how many Sfarim, those that are holding in the scene, have been written because of Bar Ilan and Otzer HaChachma. There are a couple of Mechabre Sfarim that are open and honest. There's a Sefer I like a lot, Anyanei Taros. So he writes in the beginning of the Sefer, it's an amazing thing. He writes, I just want to be very clear from the outset, I don't have good Bekiyas. I just have access to online databases that have been decently helpful. I love it because of how honest it is. I love it because of how authentic it is. But there may be a shift. Something you can find. Anyone, I don't know. I'm at Shiurim sometimes, and you hear someone quote a Marmakom, and I'm thinking, I'm a little bit cynical. You'll forgive me. I'm thinking there is literally no way that person came across that Marmakom normally on his own with learning. It can't be. Elamai. Maybe he learned it from a shiur, old school, pre-Ksivas Torah Shebaal Peh. Maybe he saw it in Sefer. Maybe he saw it on a screen. I don't know, but these things may shift a little bit. But the process, at minimum, I don't know if I'm right, but my ultimate tefillah is that as Torah becomes more unified and more accessible in one location, that the same way that Torah is being brought together, so the Osios of Klal Yisrael are going to be brought together in a way in which we're going to be able to experience an authentic sort of like, it's what Cook referred to as Torah Yisrael, at least for some, is the merging of all of Torah in an accessible way all together. It's crazy times to live in. Who knows what's going to be? I use AI a decent amount, albeit not really with Torah so much. I imagine that many people here do in many ways. We have a Mesorah. The old skills are always going to be important, and they're going to continue. They're going to continue to be important. When you sit with a Gemara and you're working how to learn and read a Gemara, that's critical. It's critical. It's critical. But could there be some small shifts? I think so. Am I terrified of it? A little bit. Am I excited by it? Sure. Why not? Let's see what ends up happening. Let's see what ends up happening. Torah is always going to be with us. The way we learn it may be somewhat different. And we should be zocha to unification of all of Klal Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael in this time period of the 9 days. We should be zocha that Tisha B'Av should become a moed. Have a wonderful rest of your night.